air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Showtime presents Homeland.
This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait.
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Mirena Bakarin.
This was an act of terrorism.
David Hayward, Diego Klattenhoff. Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning. A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
Fuck, I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
I've got a mood disorder, okay?
I looked it up, Carrie. Clozapine's an antipsychotic.
Only 7 this time?
Reading my samples cupboard not only enables you, it jeopardizes my license. So, 7 pills.
The terrorists are still out there. We need Brody in the public eye, reminding America that this is far from over.
And smile for the cameras.
Look at him. He's been blogged and tweeted about, been solicited by every national talk show.
During a debrief, Carrie mentions Abu Nazir's name out of the blue. 3 days later, one of her assets reports the first Nazir sighting in over 7 years.
Maybe it's coincidence.
Or maybe there's something she's just not telling us.
This intelligence your asset gave up her life to acquire. Do not squander it by continuing to invade the constitutionally protected privacy of the Brody family. You need to take down that surveillance.
We're on to the next case. Rakim Faisal.
They followed me to this house.
Darling, I promise, no one knows we're living here.
I still think we should leave.
Our instructions were to sit tight. We knew this would not be easy.
I can't help but feel I'm missing something.
You're missing him.
Carrie accidentally bumps into Brody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, I know you.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Hey, look, I'm not going back in if it means you can't go back in.
That's not necessary.
Or maybe we can hold our own private meeting out here. How's that sound?
It's tempting.
Islamabad. Armed men creep up on a man and a woman sleeping. A hand's clamped over the man's mouth. The man's hauled to his feet, a gun at his head, and handed a pair of trainers. A frightened child looks on as one of the abductors takes a laptop from the side of the bed. Hands being rinsed under a running tap. Brody's standing in a garage, a red mat at his feet.
Allahu Akbar.
In Islamabad, the kidnapped man lies in the back of a pickup as it races down a dusty road to an airstrip, where a hood's placed over his head, covering his battered and bruised face. He's bundled out of the pickup and onto a waiting small jet. Carrie rings a doorbell, then fumbles in her bag for a key and lets herself into the house.
Run, you fat fuck, run! Christ, you call yourself a ball player?
Safe, you fuckwit, jeez.
She hesitates in the doorway of the kitchen, where a grey-haired man's ironing. He's watching a baseball game on a large screen TV.
That's right, you jerk off. I'm talking about you. You're a goddamn disgrace. Fucking believable. The only team in baseball has to pinch run their leadoff man.
How long you been standing there?
What? I can't hear you.
Oh, I am.
He reaches for the TV remote.
Hey.
Hey, I rang the bell like 5 times, Dad. Hey, is Maggie home?
No, she had to go deal with some patient crisis at the hospital.
Hey, you hungry?
Huh? She say how long she be?
I can make you a sandwich. You want a sandwich? I got turkey, lettuce.
Shit, I gotta get this. Turkey's great. Hold on a second. Hello. Hey, Danny. What?
The one surviving terrorist from the compound in Afghanistan where we rescued Brody. Scooped him up in some shit shack in IBD. Clean lift, nothing broken, nothing spilled.
Okay, I'll be there in 30 minutes.
Carrie lets out a sigh. Saul's standing by an airport luggage carousel holding a bunch of flowers. He spots his wife, Mira, with other arriving passengers and runs towards her.
Sweetie.
They embrace and kiss.
Well, what? You okay?
No, happy to see you as well.
Yeah. Over here.
In her sister's bathroom, Carrie transfers some pills from a bottle in the medicine cabinet to one she takes from her handbag. Closing the cabinet door, she briefly catches her fraught reflection in a mirror, then stows the pill bottle safely in her bag before leaving the room. In the kitchen, her dad's wrapped a sandwich for her.
Educated guess says you need this to go.
Sorry, Dad.
Carrie unplugs the iron.
You must think I'm ready for the glue factory, Carrie. Unplugging the iron like that? Come on.
I'm just trying to be safe. Did you take your meds this morning, Dad?
I did. Thank you for asking. Bad enough I got your sister up my ass 24/7, now you too. And just so you know, those pills are killing me.
No, they're not, Dad. Sometimes I just feel like you're spinning out of control a little when they bring you up instead of down.
That happens to you too?
It's a good time to avoid household appliances, in my experience.
I was distracted. I was excited to see you, is all. Okay, message received and understood.
I wish I could stay and help you out with the chores.
Yeah, right. Well, enjoy. Drive safe. And
fuck the CIA!
So how are your parents?
Wonderful. They seem to get busier and busier.
We need to get them over here more.
Too much work in Mumbai for that. That's what they were saying.
Maybe they ought to think about handing the slums project off to somebody else now.
What have you lost?
Ticket for the parking.
It'll be in the car when you always leave it. Oh, that didn't take long.
I love you, so I tell you that already.
Go on, answer it. I know you have to.
Hello? Saul Berenson. He wants everyone here ASAP.
Get me Captain Mike Faber at the Pentagon.
I'm gonna get a cab.
Mira, wait.
No. I know what that look means, Saul, and I'm not angry. I'm really not. And I hope I see you later.
Saul.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Before the briefing starts, there's a report you need to read from the Pakistan phase of the interrogation.
I'll be right over.
Afzal Hamid, 34 years old, Syrian. According to our friends in Pakistani intelligence, a mid-level member of the Islamic People's Liberation Army.
Abu Nazir's group.
Which means he most likely has knowledge of Nazir's plans to attack us here in Fortress America, including money trail from the Hawala shop, where it went, what it's being used for.
Which is exactly why you and Carrie will interrogate him, with the help of Sergeant Brody.
Excuse me, Sergeant Brody?
Yes, Carrie, Sergeant Brody, who is in a unique position to establish a baseline on Hemi, right or wrong.
Right.
Now, the interview itself will take place at a designated safe house, yet to be determined.
Brody absolutely can't be there.
He will be there, Carrie. That ship has sailed.
Well, we might as well just hand the playbook straight to Abu Nazir.
Well, the alternative might be worse.
Nothing is worse than Brody witnessing this interrogation. The blowback will be profound.
Assuming we do what you want, then, that is, share your suspicions about Sergeant Brody, what do you think will happen then?
Well, it might force David into a decision.
A decision based on what? How many times must we have this discussion? There's no evidence linking Brody to Abu Nazir.
This is a different discussion, Saul. This is about operational security.
Okay, Gary. March up to his office right now. Tell him he's been duped.
Tell him Sergeant Brody's location in Afghanistan was intentionally leaked by Nazir. Tell him the story of his American hero has a surprise twist. See what he does then.
I guess you're packing your cubicle looking for a job in the private sector.
Don't we have a moral obligation to say something?
Our obligation is to stop the next attack on America, which you won't be a part of if you keep pursuing this. Has it occurred to you, at the very least, we'll be able to observe Brody at close quarters in a high-stress environment, which we can control?
Yeah. It's occurred to me, Saul.
Has it occurred to you if we do our jobs and break off Saul Hamid, he might just give up the whole plot, including Sergeant Brody?
Well, that's a big if, Saul.
You're screwing up my rug.
Either David Estes makes the weather, Carrie. What we do?
Your choice.
He sips a hot drink. Brody's taking a run through a park. He slows as he spots Mike leaning against his car up ahead, smoking a cigarette.
This can't be good.
Just that I'd find you here. It's urgent. Langley needs to see you.
Langley?
So you better haul ass. Shit, shower, shave, be ready. In time in the next 40 minutes when they come to get you.
What do they want?
Didn't say. I was only classified.
Couldn't they just call me?
They told me not to. Open line phone calls.
Jesus.
Yeah, no shit.
You went by my house already?
Figured I'd stay at Jessica's hair.
You figured right. Is that it? Can't tell me anything else?
That's all I know right now, Brody. If I knew anything else, I'd tell you.
Yeah.
Mike drives off.
What did Mike want?
Brody swigs a drink.
The CIA want to see me.
About what?
I don't know.
He screws the top on the bottle and puts it down.
I'll take a shower. They'll be here any second now.
Hey, are you okay?
You know what, Jess? Can you just stop asking me that every 2 minutes? I'm fine.
Okay, okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, you're right. I get it.
Hey, Dad. Yeah. Mom said you might come watch my karate tomorrow.
She did?
He's getting his blue belt.
If I pass the test. So can you come?
Sure. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Brody ruffles Chris's hair. In an aircraft hangar hung with huge stars and stripes, Saul and David watch as the door of the gleaming white personal jet opens and a set of steps unfolds from it. A hooded figure, hands and ankles chained, stumbles in his laceless trainers as he's led down the steps and to the back of a van. He's laid down in the back and the van's rear doors are closed.
North. So not Langley. No blindfold or anything?
We trust you. Sir, we're 5 minutes out.
Copy that.
Sitting at his desk, David opens a laptop, then switches on a monitor on the wall, which displays a black and white image of an interrogation room. Brody's driven up to a red-painted building set in woodland. He looks around him slightly warily as he gets out of the vehicle and is led into the building. Harry checks the setup in the interrogation room, then heads into an adjacent room and speaks to David in his office on a laptop webcam connection.
Estes, we're up. We're online.
She smiles as Brody's brought in.
Sergeant Brody, Harry Matheson. We met at the debrief a few weeks ago.
Brody studies her.
Yes, good to see you.
Thanks so much for coming. How are you settling back in with your family? Can we get you anything? A coffee or soda or water before we get started?
Get started with what?
Have a seat.
Brody does as he's instructed, sitting behind a desk in front of a monitor on a stand, displaying a picture of an almost identical setup in the interrogation room, where Hamid, still hooded and wearing just a pair of white boxers, is standing behind a desk. His hood is removed.
Do you know this man?
Hamid stares into the camera.
Motherfucking shit.
A flashback to a bloodied Brody lying on a stone floor. Hamid stands over him and urinates on his face. Brody endures the ordeal with his eyes screwed shut and lips clenched tightly together.
Yeah, I know him. He's my guard.
Visual recognition confirmed.
Do you remember his name?
They called him Afi.
His full name is Asal Hamid. He was the sole survivor of the attack on the safe house where you were rescued.
Brody recalls Hamid zipping up his fly. Saul comes in, and Carrie hands him something in a small plastic packet. Without a word, he glances at the image of Hamid on the monitor, then disappears through a sliding concertina door into the interrogation room.
Who's he?
My colleague.
Saul puts in an earpiece, then takes Hamid's handcuffed hands in his.
Assalamu alaikum.
He kisses him on both cheeks.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Ijlis. Nasal khid.
Brody takes a drink of water as, on the monitor, Saul settles into a chair facing Hamid across the table, his back to the camera. The two men stare at each other. Brody's eyes are fixed on the monitor, and Carrie studies him closely.
What's he doing?
He's waiting to see if Hamid will say something first.
This is the first stages of an interrogation.
Not exactly. Pakistani intelligence held him for 3 days before they turned him over.
Did he talk?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that.
In fact, I can't share any operational details with you at all.
Then why am I here?
Two reasons.
One, to confirm his identity, which you've just done. And two, to provide us with information we can use to unsettle him. To prove we have complete control. To demonstrate our omnipotence. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. Are you ready to begin?
One question.
Go ahead.
Will he be tortured?
We don't do that here.
What is it you think he knows about?
Like I said, I can't...
divulge operational details, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm ready.
You can put this on now, please.
A headset.
Tap the mic twice so my colleague knows we're ready.
Do you speak English? Please.
Does he? Did he ever speak English to you?
They all spoke some English.
This is for my friends in Guantanamo.
We know you speak English. Therefore, I will continue to address you in English. Are you a religious man?
Hamid remains stubbornly silent.
This part needs to move a little faster. Are you good with that?
They all prayed. They're extremely devout.
Of course you are.
Photos.
This soldier
is your prisoner. When did you first meet him?
Damascus.
We know you didn't meet him until Damascus. That's when the interrogations began, didn't they? And you were part of those interrogations?
weren't you?
Yeah, he was.
For how long was Sergeant Brody interrogated?
Days? Months?
Years.
Went on for years,
didn't it? What did you do to Sergeant Brody, F.S.O.?
Do you have a detail we could use?
He beat me with a stick wrapped in barbed wire and he pissed on me.
You beat him?
With barbed wire. And urinated on him. So you're a religious man and a torturer. What are you, Catholic?
Hamid looks past Saul and into the camera.
You think your wife and sons are still alive?
There, you see that? That's exactly what we were going for. He's convinced we already know the answers to our questions. Now he thinks we know if his family's alive. Information he wants.
Let's back up, shall we?
5 days ago, you're safely hidden away in Islamabad. Or so you think. I mean, why else have your family with you? And suddenly, in the dead of night, you disappear without a trace. It's not just your poor wife and children who are wondering where you are.
One man in particular is
beginning to worry. Abu Nazir.
Who, as we all know, is not your average Islamist terrorist bent on bringing down Western civilization. No, this man has a certain style, a certain...
artistry. Let's take the case of Yasser Akram, for example.
Lifted by our British friends from a villa in Lebanon in August 2006.
Within days of his capture, his only brother, a good and holy man, is killed in a car bomb. The Yemeni police had to ship what was left of him in a small plastic bag to a lab in Dubai just to identify him. Not to mention what was done to his poor parents, to his wives, and most disturbingly, to his children. We can protect your family, Afzal, to aid individuals, but we don't have much time. Abu Nazir is not a patient man. You can come in now, Joelle.
A woman brings in a cup of water, a pad, and a crayon. Saul places the pad in front of Hamid and offers him the crayon.
When you're ready to talk to us, write down their names and addresses. If you love your kids, like I love mine, I would hurry.
Saul leaves, and Hamid, his expression inscrutable, looks up into the camera. Brody removes the headset.
Now what?
Now we wait for him to pick up that crayon.
Then the interrogator said that he could protect us.
We already have his wife and children out of harm's way. You can go home now. Thank you for your help. We've got it from here. Hey, guys.
Hey, would you just let me in the room with him just for a couple of minutes? I just want to look the prick in the eye and let him know that the tables are turned.
You know I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't. You do see that, don't you?
Sure.
Look, go home. Forget about today. Forget about all of this. And, of course, it goes without saying.
Don't tell anybody.
Hey, but if you do find yourself needing to talk to someone, anytime. 24/7. Goodbye, Sergeant Brody. You've been a big help today.
She's handed him her business card. David on the webcam.
Hey, Carrie.
Hey.
Excellent work. Both you and Saul. Doesn't get any better than that.
Thank you, David.
Let me know the minute Hamid makes a move. One way or the other.
I will.
Well.
When you turned over that picture of Abu Nazir, he stopped breathing for a few seconds. I know he's hiding something from us. I know it. Shit.
What?
Well, now's the time we really could use that surveillance on his house.
Don't go there, Carrie. Be patient.
All right, I'll take the Doom Watch. You go be with Mira. I'll call you if anything happens tonight.
Pace yourself.
Carrie stares at Hamid's image on the monitor.
Come on, asshole. Pick up the damn crayon.
Brody. Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
Hey, where have you been?
You cut your hair.
What do you think?
Nice.
You always liked it short.
No, I like it. Really.
He kisses her.
You did something for me by going to that support group, so I thought I'd do something for you. Tea?
Thanks.
What are you doing out here?
Nothing, just enjoying the quiet.
Rough day. What was it about, anyway?
Not really supposed to talk about it, Jess.
Not even a little.
I can't. I'm sorry.
They sip their mugs of tea in silence.
How's your tea?
Good.
Yorkshire Gold, your favorite.
It's perfect. Thanks.
Jessica toys with the back of her hair, which has been cut short into her neck and behind her ears, in a gaming Audrey Hepburn style. Hamid's jolted awake by a burst of bright light and pounding heavy metal. Carrie watches on the monitor next door as Hamid's subjected to the ordeal at frequent intervals. He reaches for the cup of water. Picking it up in his handcuffed hands, he lifts it to his lips and drinks it down. Under the coruscating glare of floodlights, Hamid's resilience appears to falter. Carrie gets herself a drink from a water dispenser. She unscrews the top of her pill bottle and empties one into her palm, then swallows it with some water. She lets out a weary sigh as the water goes down. Lying on her front, with her face buried in a pillow, Mira barely stirs as Saul leans over her in bed and gently kisses her bare shoulder. The muscles in Hamid's jaw and neck quiver, partly from the shock of a blast of cold air to his naked body, and partly from sleep deprivation as his torture continues. Next morning, Brody wipes a misted-up mirror with his hand as he shaves. He studies his reflection, shaving foam covering the lower half of his face like a white mask. Carrie enters the monitoring room and settles down at the desk. Next door, Hamid's been reduced to a quivering wreck. Seeing him reach for the crayon with shaking hands, Carrie picks up her mobile and makes a call.
Saul? Looks like he's getting ready.
Eight names. Four in Islamabad, three in Lahore, one in Lucknow. It's gonna take some doing.
First, we need a show of faith from you. Do you understand what that means?
I don't know anything. You know I don't. That is how we operate for exactly this reason.
Say goodbye to your family.
Hamid's head bows. Then he slowly reaches for the crayon, turns to a fresh page of the pad, and starts to write. Saul and Carrie lean over him, watching intently.
An email address in Pakistan.
Whose email?
I don't know. I swear to you. Now you promise. My family. My children.
What do you send to this email address?
I forward one sent to me from someone else.
Who?
Hamid stares into the mid-distance and Carrie moves so that he's compelled to look her in the eye.
Was the location of the compound where you were holding Sergeant Brody deliberately leaked to so you would find him?
Carrie.
Did Abu Nazir ever meet Sergeant Brody?
First, my family. Then we talk.
We'll be back.
Brody, in uniform, climbs out of his car and puts on his garrison cap as he strides away across a car park.
Come on in.
Thank you for meeting me, sir.
You know, when I told you my door was always open, Sergeant Brody, I meant it. Good timing. Appears our friend in the safe house is getting ready to do business.
Oh, a friend of mine, sir.
No, of course not. What can I do for you, Sergeant?
I believe I've earned a moment face to face with my torturer, sir.
Yeah, I heard. And I've got to tell you that Carrie was correct. She doesn't have the authorization to let you in there with Hamid.
Do you?
As much as I'd like to.
Sir, can I stop you there? Save you the trouble?
Please.
Nobody respects your operational concerns more than I do. I did not come here to tell you that I can get Hamid talking any quicker than your own experts can. But yesterday, I did exactly as was asked of me. Hard as it was just to sit there and watch us dance around his rights after what he did to me for 8 years. Now you're telling me he's ready to talk. I think that means I've earned the right to at least look him in the eye and tell him that he didn't beat me. He doesn't get to win.
Sergeant Brody.
Sir, I haven't finished, if you don't mind. This is really important to me. I need to do right by my wife and my kids. And I need to be fully able, both physically and mentally, to honor my duties as a Marine and as a man. But first, I gotta close the door on this chapter of my life. That's all I ask, sir. Please don't rob me of the opportunity to do that. For my own sanity, if nothing else.
Sergeant, would you wait outside for a second?
Brody nods his head and steps out of David's office. David presses a button on his desk intercom.
Lorraine, will you get me the DCI?
Yes, sir, right away.
Later, David finds Brody leaning on the handrail of a raised walkway.
Let's go close that door, Sergeant.
We sent a phantom email to the one Hamid gave you. Whoever it is will never actually receive the email or know that it was sent. So far, it's bounced off of a server in Rio where it went through a re-encryption filtering protocol, then to Johannesburg, same drill, then to Thailand, then Finland, and now, nearly an hour later, your guess is... I'd say you owe me dinner, Carrie. Possibly even sex.
Holy fuck.
I wouldn't go that far.
Jesus.
Carrie hurries out of the tech room and down a corridor.
The 14th man gave up an email address. We just chased the engineering department at Brighton University.
Faisal? Are you fucking kidding me? The professor we tailed then cleared?
Correct. Everybody stop what you're doing. Only thing I need you to do right now is find this man, Rakeem Faisal.
Brody steps out of a vehicle at the facility where Hamid's being interrogated to be met by David.
Faisal hasn't been at the university all day, and he's not home either.
What home address you got for him?
An apartment in Truxton Circle.
Carrie makes a call.
Virgil, I need you to look for something at Brighton University. Yeah, today, right now.
Hamid's eating from a takeaway food container in the interrogation room when the door opens and Brody steps in with David. Brody sits down at the table, pulls the container to him and closes the lid. He pushes it aside.
You beat me. You humiliated me. You killed my friend. But you did not break me. You should have killed me when you had the chance. But now here we are. I'm a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, shitbird. How did you think this would end?
Hamid leans forward across the table, looks Brody straight in the eye and spits in his face. Brody grabs him, pulls him onto the floor, and has to be physically hauled off him.
Calm down.
Regaining his composure, Brody looks at David.
Thank you, sir. It means a lot.
Yannam, inshallah. I shun them.
Fact is, these eggheads and whatnot may be smarter than all of us put together in this room, but what I've learned over the years, when it comes to safety in the workplace, you will not believe some of the violations that I've seen.
Can't you come back when Dr. Faisal is actually here? I'm not comfortable letting people in his office when he's not present.
We understand that.
Max deliberately knocks something off a desk to distract Faisal's secretary.
If we've damaged anything, I can put in the paperwork to pay for it. Maybe we can help you with one or two of the violations in here.
Excuse me? Are you suggesting...
No, he's not. Not on my watch. Just do the paperwork, numbnuts. Yes, we have a few potential violations you'd like to report?
That could be Dr. Faisal calling now.
Hey,
hello?
Know where this address is?
Hello.
Right next to the fucking airport.
Brody gets home to find Chris in his karate gear.
Hey! See that new belt he's wearing?
Yeah, blue. Impressive. Sorry I missed it. I wish I'd been there, son. I got caught up in a meeting.
It's okay. Mike took me.
Yeah, I see that.
Ice cream?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Have some, we're celebrating.
Brody loosens his shirt collar.
Anyway, I should hit the road.
Did your mom ask Uncle Mike to take you to karate?
That's no big deal. I've been taking him for the last 3 years.
Four. I started when I was eight.
Right, look at you now. A blue belt. Pretty damn awesome, huh? Right, Brody?
You bet.
Mike lowers his voice as he steps closer to Brody.
What meeting?
I can't talk about it.
Your son did awesome today. Should be proud.
Didn't you say you were leaving, Mike?
See you later, bud, okay?
Later, Gator.
Mike hands Brody the dish of ice cream he's holding and heads out.
Any sprinkles?
He led us right past his house just this last Tuesday.
Probably means he knew we were tailing him. Should have had us do it.
Dead quiet in there. Not a squeak. Maybe they're taking a nap.
Sometimes I swear to God, he's my own brother, and I don't know if he's part moron or just acting like it to piss me off.
Carrie's mobile.
What's going on, Saul?
He's dead, Carrie. Hamid's dead. Suicide.
Jesus Christ, no. What? How? When?
Carrie, what happened?
Minutes ago. I just got here. Body's still warm.
How the hell is that possible?
Razor blade fragment. Left wrist.
What? Where did he get that?
He must have had it on his person. We missed it.
Saul, he had to have gone through at least a dozen full body searches.
Fragment is tiny. He could have had it concealed in a cavity under his skin, scar tissue.
Or somebody passed it to him.
Passed him what?
Carrie.
Admit it's possible, Saul, because we're sitting on Dr. Faisal's house right now and there's no sign of him anywhere.
What's your point?
My point is whoever gave him the razor blade could have warned the professor too.
Fucking razor blade?
I want authorization to go in.
Estes wants us to watch and wait.
Damn it, Saul! There's no time! If Faisal is on the run, we need to know now.
You have my authorization. Move in.
Alpha team, go. Bravo, cover the back. Charlie team, stand by.
A white van pulls onto the driveway of a house.
Here we go.
The driver gets out, carrying a box which he discards at the front door. He takes only moments to open the door as Carrie's team closes in from several directions. Entering the property's darkened interior, the team quickly disperses into different rooms.
House is empty. You must have left in a hurry. Looks like for good.
Did you hear that, Saul? Saul?
Saul slumps down in a chair and stares at an image of Hamid lying dead on the floor in the adjacent room. At home, Brody's sitting deep in thought on the side of a bed. Mira stirs sleepily on the sofa as Saul gets home, the remnants of a meal and the dregs of a glass of red wine beside her.
I'm so sorry. I know what you're gonna say, and you're right. All I can say is this is not how I planned your first days back.
You must still be jet lagged. Why are you still up? You should be in bed. I know that look. You've been waiting up for me. What's wrong?
So, darling, you know what's wrong. You just more or less said so in a nutshell yourself.
Wait, wait. Please not do this right now. Do you mind? It's been a very complicated day.
Your life is a very complicated day. You must be aware, Saul, this last month in India with my family, I've been doing a lot of thinking. Soul searching.
We discussed this before you left. I can start scaling back. Maybe even get reassigned, spend more time at home.
Okay, just listen. I actually realize now it's not right or fair to ask you to do less. So what I need, Mira, is to make my life not just about you. You know, you said yesterday that my parents should pass the Mumbai Slums Project on to someone else.
Not to you. I didn't mean to you. Our life is here, Mira.
Our life is wherever you get sent. Amman, Beirut, London, Aden, often at a moment's notice, and I need more than that. I need to make my life... I need to make my life about my passions. I need to put my roots down somewhere that matter to me, Saul.
Do I get any sort of say in all this?
Are you going to get that?
Saul doesn't move, so Mira goes to the front door.
Mira, how was your trip? Welcome home.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was an inspiring time. How are you, Carrie?
I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean to intrude.
However...
It's really important that I talk to you.
No, it's so lovely to see you, but I didn't sleep on the plane, so I'm completely sideways. Forgive me.
Okay.
We'll catch up soon,
That'd be great. Okay, good night.
Mira heads upstairs.
Don't say I didn't warn you. This whole thing would blow up in our faces.
Video footage.
What the hell? Who let Brody in that room with him?
Who do you think, Saul?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep, I had pretty much the same response.
Brody must have identified that camera blind spot while watching the interrogation.
Just so you know, the working theory is that Hamid smuggled the razor blade inside the sole of his shoe.
Bullshit! Not only did Brody contrive to get himself in the room, he orchestrated Hamid's suicide and he warned Dr. Faisal, and we, you and I, let it happen. Enough on the sidelines, enough in the shadows. We need to take this up the chain before we're counting bodies and trying to spin yet another monumental intelligence screw-up.
I think I'm not considering it.
Well, how about doing something about it?
Because nothing's changed, Carrie.
What do you mean, nothing's changed?
I don't see Brody giving Hamid a damn thing, do you? Not a razor blade, not a goddamn summer cold.
Good! You know, get angry! I'm over your whole detached routine.
You're out of line. It's my home.
I'm going to Estes with or without your approval.
Take some boxes with you, because you're going to need them when you clean out your desk.
What happened to the Saul Berenson that trekked the Karakoram, did 3 months in a Malaysian prison, stared down Uday Hussein at the height of his power? When did you become such a pussy, Saul?
I think you should leave now.
With pleasure. No, I can keep that. Fuck this shit!
Carrie storms out. Now, she's clearing photos, maps, and notes from a cork wall behind her desk and putting them in a cardboard box. The very last item is a surveillance photo of Brody in a vehicle. Leaning on her desk, she takes some deep breaths and fights back tears. Now, Carrie's trying to unlock the front door of her sister's house. Maggie comes downstairs in her dressing gown and lets her in.
I'm sorry, Maggie. I had nowhere else to go.
What happened?
I think I just quit my job.
What? That's silly.
No, I'm serious. I'm done. I've had it up to here.
All right, just stop. Stop.
You were so right. You were so fucking right. When you told me that my job would kill me one day.
Just take a deep breath. Calm down. Kira, calm down, okay? Does Saul know about any of this?
Saul? No, Saul is part of the problem.
But you said he always had your back.
Well, I'm on my own now, that's for damn sure. And you really want to know the truth? I've been on my own for a while now.
Stop. We both know you're not quitting anything, okay? It's just the heat of the moment. It's not you, okay? That's not who you really are. I know you. So, this is what's gonna happen. You're sleeping here at night, okay? The guest room's already made up. The girls are gonna be over the moon to see you in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, I don't care if the world's about to end, okay? You're gonna stay here for as long as it takes for you to get your head straight. Okay?
Maggie brings Carrie some towels.
Promise me that you'll sleep in the morning.
I'll try.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Carrie.
Hey.
What's wrong?
Nothing, sweetheart.
Did something happen? We heard you and Mom talking.
No, girls, really, I'm fine.
Why don't you girls get back to bed and let Aunt Carrie get some rest, okay? Can we sleep in here?
Yeah, please.
You sure?
I'm positive. Come on in.
In there.
Carrie climbs into bed with her two nieces.
Okay.
Sweet dreams, guys.
Carrie kisses the girls. Brody looks in on Chris, who's kneeling beside his bed saying his prayers.
Hey, no, stay there. Stay there.
Brody kneels down beside him.
You know, I meant it when I said I wouldn't miss your karate. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me?
Chris nods.
I'm proud of you. You're a blue belt now. You got it done like I knew you would. why? Because you're my son. What are we praying for?
Since I was four, me and Mom prayed every night that you were alive, that you'd come home one day.
And now?
That you're gonna be okay.
Chris closes his eyes and bows his head, hands clasped together. Brody joins him in prayer. Carrie can't sleep. She gently removes Ruby's arm that's draped across her and gets out of the bed. As she makes her way to the door, her younger niece, Josie, stirs. Carrie stands in the doorway and watches Josie settle down again. Then she steps out onto the darkened landing, walks a short way downstairs, and sits on a step. Resting her elbows on her knees, she ponders her future with a look of uncertainty.